This is Finance and Governments Committee, Tukwila City Council. My name is Zach Idan. I'm the chair of committee. I have my two colleagues, Councilmember Kathy Hogarty and Councilmember Cynthia Delstrinas Johnson. And bringing up my agenda, we have quite a few agenda items today. First thing is business agenda A1, golf course capital purchase of 2021. John from Recreation Superintendent. Hello, Mr. Dunn.
Hello, council members. Thank you for having me. My name is John Dunn. I'm the Recreation Superintendent and Acting Recreation Manager with the Parks and Rec Department. And I'm coming to you today as part of the approved 21 and 22 budget. The golf course had a plan for replacing some maintenance equipment and then also our golf carts. One of the items, though, in the transition that we've had in management of the golf course over the course of the summer, we noticed that even though it was an approved budget, some of the spending policies had not been followed, and for purchases over $40,000 had not been brought to you prior to the purchases. So we're bringing those to you today. There was three items in particular that, again, were part of the plan that was approved. However, just bringing it forward to you now that those items were purchased and were under budget. And then the other items are the golf carts that are due to arrive any week now. The order was placed in March, and we're just waiting on shipping. And as soon as they arrive, they will be trading in 18 of our old carts, and we'll get trade-in value for those, and then we will owe at that point. Again, also in the budget, but wanted to bring it to you prior to us purchasing those items and cutting that check. So the ask that we have for the committee is that this is approved and moved to consent for the final purchase of those items.
Thank you. Councilmember Hogarty, do you have comments?
So some of these items have already been purchased. Is that true?
Correct. The three items that are under the maintenance equipment were already purchased and paid for. And then the cart items have been ordered in our waiting shipment, but have not been paid yet.
And then moving forward, so you'll get their approval ahead of time.
Correct.
All right. Okay. I'm in favor of this, so thank you very much.
Councilmember Delstrinas Johnson.
I'm in favor, too, and I don't have any questions. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
I'm in support of moving this forward. Thank you for bringing it up to the process and bringing it up to us. So appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So moving on, 1B, monthly fund update, Deputy Finance Director Tony Colleton. Take it away, sir.
Thank you. Hello, Tony Colleton, Deputy Finance Director, and I will be providing the August General Fund Budget Actual Expenditure Report this evening. The report starts on page 9 of your agenda packet, and this report includes data as of October 13th. And is for the period of January through August 31. So the general fund departmental expenditures through August totaled $37.74 million, which is $530,000 less than the allocated budget of $38.27 million. Individual general fund departments continue to operate within their projected budget with the exception of fire. And we continue to report that department budgets are extremely tight and may not be able to absorb necessary costs without a budget amendment. For example, in addition to an increase in general inflationary costs, insurance has now exceeded its annual budget by $84,000. And Public utilities has expended 86% of their allocated budget. So as of August 31, we were at 66% of the year, and they had spent 86% of their allocated budget, so they're trending to exceed budget. Now, staff will continue to closely monitor departmental budgets, and, of course, we will continue to keep this committee fully informed of additional budgetary concerns. And then, finally, up-to-date fire overtime information is summarized in your report on page 10 of your packet, as well as a list of current budget amendment items that have been brought forward to council. It's listed on page 11 of your packet. And that concludes the August General Fund Expenditure Report.
Thank you. Councilmember Kathy Holgerty, do you have comments, questions?
I am now unmuted. I do have a, I'm going to ask my question when we get into the item that is the mid-biennium budget. So I'll just hold off instead of asking it twice. All right, thanks.
Sounds good. Councilmember Davis-Johnson?
I don't have any questions on this item. A lot of the information is seems consistent to what we've been hearing in every report, so no surprises is good. So I don't have any questions. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Same here. I was going to ask about the utilities and why it's trending the way it is, but I believe there's some, I don't know if you want to comment, but I suspect sometime you'll come back and kind of fill us in as to what's happening, especially that, you know, just kind of like, you know, fire you can understand, but I just don't know what's happening with the utilities at the rate that they're spending.
So I can answer that question if you'd like, Vicki Carlson, Finance Director. Part of the reason our utilities is over budget is because we have two additional facilities. We did open the Justice Center late last year. We opened Fire Station 52 this year. The Justice Center is a much larger facility than we've had in the past, even though it's energy efficient. And we still have the two old buildings that fire vacated, Old Station 52, Old Station 51. And so even though they're not currently occupied, there are some basic utilities going through there. That we're not, we expected to sell those stations sooner than we have. And so those costs are not currently included in the budget, and that's why we're over.
So is this safe to say that we didn't forecast, or now we're seeing actuals and we're adding it to it?
It's a combination of not selling the two parcels when we anticipated, and then also the Justice Center. With the structure, again, even though it's an energy efficient building, we didn't know what the utilities were going to run. So we did provide a guesstimate when we put the budget together. Now that we have updated information, we'll be able to budget much more closely with that particular facility in the next biennial budget.
Okay. Thank you. Kathy, I see you got your hand up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. So Fire Station 52, it looks like we're not going to be selling it anytime in the near future because we're talking about repurposing it. So have you adjusted the budget accordingly for that?
Not at this point. We're keeping an eye on that. And what we'll probably do is we'll do an adjustment in our 23-24 budget, so the next biennial budget. We're hoping that that particular station can be absorbed through cost savings in other budgetary line items in that department.
Okay, so you're making some space for it. It's just,
yes.
So in one way or the other. Okay, great. Thank you.
And in worst case, we're not including a budget amendment this particular time, and we'll talk about that at our last item. But next year, if we do need to come back for a budget amendment, you may see an adjustment for utilities next year. But at this point, we are hoping that those costs can be absorbed.
Okay, thank you. All right, so this was a discussion-only item, so we'll move on to the next one. Item 1C, it's taxi tax levy legislation, and it's 1 and 2 in the ordinance. That need to be forwarded to November 8th on COW, and then public hearing on November 15th, regular meeting. I think this is you, Director Carlson.
Yes. So this is an annual process. This is a process that is required to levy property taxes for the upcoming budget year. There are two ordinances that need to be done. The first ordinance actually sets the levy rate, and there's two pieces to the levy rate. There's a regular levy rate that pays just for the general fund, and then there's an excess levy rate, which goes to pay back our debt service that is specific to the public safety plan. And then the second ordinance is the percent change from your highest lawful levy from the previous year, that is also a required ordinance to do. So again, it's an annual process. What we're doing, what we're asking for is with the levy rate setting ordinance, which is the first ordinance, is we're asking for $17.6 million in regular tax levy and an excess levy of the $4.474 million. The regular tax levy, we always put a higher amount than what's on the levy worksheet that's included in your packet, because the state assessed property tax is not available to us until after council has approved the tax levies. But I do want to assure you that we can only allow the maximum per law. And if the maximum is less than the $17.6 million, that's all we're allowed to levy. But so we always put a little bit of a cushion in there to cover that for that state assessed tax. And again, we're asking for this to go to COW on November 8th, which would be a public hearing as well, and then for final approval on November 15th.
Thank you. Questions, comments? Kathy?
Yeah, so I think I ask this every year because it's not really straightforward. How did you come up with the 17 million? Would you tell me again?
17.6?
Yeah, 17.
So part of this comes straight from page 23 of your packet. We receive a levy limit worksheet from King County that does all of the calculations for us. And you'll see it's about two-thirds of the way down the page. It's $17.3 million. It's actually $17,299,850 is the actual amount. But you'll notice a little further up, you'll see no value in there for the state assessed property. And so we always provide a cushion in there for the state assessed, because we don't get that dollar amount until after the ordinances have been approved by council. And we also include a refund of prior year levies. That's how we get to the 17.6. It is an estimate at this point. And again, the county doesn't allow us to levy any more than the maximum allowed by law. So if when the state property comes in, if it's less than that, that's all we can levy.
Okay, that number is not
in a lower amount. Then, and the state assessed comes in higher, then we're capped at that lower amount. So we always put a cushion in there to make sure we can capture the full amount.
Okay, so they haven't given us the final amount yet.
Correct. And it doesn't come in until December, which is after council approves the ordinances. And unfortunately, state law requires council to approve this by November 30th. So the timing is off a little bit, so we have to do an estimate.
There's my answer. Thank you so much. And I'll probably forget and ask it again next year. So thank you.
Thank you. It's always been confusing to me, but as the years follow through. So Councilmember Delstrano Johnson, comments, questions on this one?
Yeah. How does this affect at all the residents in Tukwila? Is there any kind of like financial impact that they'll feel based on this ordinance or the changes?
So that's a really good question. And unfortunately, there's not a simple answer for that. As a taxing authority, we're allowed to increase our total levy by 1% plus new construction. So new construction goes to all of the new construction that happened specific to those parcels. The 1% is actually applied to all parcels within the city. And if everybody's assessed value went up the same, then you could very easily say everyone received a 1% increase. But your property tax impact is very dependent on what everybody else's assessed valuation does. So that 1% increase is spread across all of Tukwila. Unfortunately, there's no easy
Thank
way
you.
To answer that one.
Great question. Go ahead.
Okay, oh, my mic's still on. So hypothetically, if there's a whole bunch more buildings and the assessed valuation stayed pretty much the same, property taxes could go down because it was spread over more people or more entities, I should say, private and public businesses.
No. So the new construction goes to, so if I build a house on vacant land, so that assessed value that's associated with that house is going to go straight to that property. So the new construction, that property owner is going to get 100% of that tax bill. So the 1% is applied to every single parcel in Tukwila, but it's applied based on your percentage of the total assessed value. So if one neighborhood goes up and another neighborhood goes down, the neighborhood where the assessed valuation went up is going to experience a greater than 1% increase. If your neighborhood, the values go down, you could theoretically see a reduction in property taxes. It really depends on how your property value changes compared to everybody else.
That's actually the scenario I was looking for, yeah. So there are some, it's not just the 1%, it's how everything is in relation to everything else.
Yeah, correct.
Thank you.
All right, so this is going to Community Hall, and then public hearing, and then 11:15 for a regular meeting. Is that okay with you guys? Okay. That's 3-0. Thank you, Director Carlson. Moving on. 1D, Ordinance 2122, Biennial Budget Amendment. I believe that's also you.
Yes, it is. So this, again, is an annual process because this is the first year of the biennial budget. We are asking for budget amendments to both 21 and 2022. We do budget amendments for a number of reasons. All of these amendments are administrative in nature because no fund is in danger of exceeding budget. So none of the budget amendments that we're proposing here are required by law. But we do them for transparency. It's a good communication tool to the council as to what we're doing. It's also good record keeping. And it's just it's a communication tool for what's going on throughout the city and all of our funds. The amendments that are in front of you tonight can be categorized into kind of five buckets. We do have some housekeeping amendments, which include adjusting the beginning fund balance to actual. So that's just truing up how we ended last year to the beginning of this year. We do have amendments specific to allocating the American Rescue Plan Fund Act. We also have a couple of revenue streams that are consistently beating budget. And so we're adjusting that. We have adjustments in there to meet personnel contractual obligations. Labor contract, and then grant revenue that's been received through certain departments. On page 2 of the memo and page 3, I have summarized the general fund amendments by department. So you can go through and you can see each department. You'll see a description of what the amendment is. And then there's amendment for 21 and or 2022. If it's revenue backed and the department specifically brings in that revenue, you'll see that captured in that department. General fund revenue that is not specific to a department, you'll see in the general revenue section. What I'd like to do is each item has been footnoted, and I think it might be easier to go through the summary footnotes and just kind of walk through each one of those for the general fund. So starting with number 1, the first one is adjusting the budget for personnel contracts. It does include an estimate for the OPM contracts. You do have some OPM contracts that are currently being negotiated, so we've placed an estimate in there at this time. It's the best we can do until those contracts close. Number 2 is adjusting certain lines to true up to actuals. If you remember back when the budget was drafted late last year, we knew that some of the budgets were going to be extremely tight. Some of those have come to fruition, so we do need to add budget to public defense, special matters, property insurance, a few of those things. We're also adding some budget for training in 2022 because departments had stripped down to almost zero. And we're also adding budget for snow events. I think we all kind of realize that we're going to have a snow event pretty much every year, so we might as well just put the funding in for it. We had stripped that budget down pretty tightly as well. Number three, that is the use of ARPA funds. And I do want to point out on page 4 of your memo, which is skipping a little bit further down, I did place the chart that shows how ARPA funds were going to be spent. It's the same chart you saw last Monday night with just a few adjustments to it. So we did add the C-Click fix. That was discussed. That's line 15 of that chart. So we added $15,000 to 2022. We shifted with the business assistance. It's still $200,000, but in speaking with Mr. Speck, it looks like he could spend a little bit more this year. So we moved $5,000 this year from next year. We also adjusted the upgrading for the council chambers. Again, just moving $8,000 from 2022 into 2021. The grand total is the same amount. And we did remove SCORE. We left that line there so you could see that we zeroed that out. So SCORE is no longer being funded by ARPA funds. And if I could go back to page 3. Yes.
Can I ask questions as we go along? Is it about?
Sure.
Okay, so I just realized I can ask this question on another line item, but I'd like to ask, if you see my hand raised, it'll be on that item. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so if I could keep going down then. So number 4 is adding budget in 2022 for the economic development plan. Number 5 has to do with our ERP project that council approved early on, or I should say late last year. The original budget was going to be $500,000 this year, $500,000 next year. It looks like most of those costs are going to shift to next year. So we're not increasing the total budget at all. We're just moving from 21 to 22. And we're also moving the NeoGov portion of that project into HR. Right now, the entire budget for that project is in the finance department. And NeoGov is the application that's specific to human resources. So we're just simply moving that budget to the appropriate department. When we drafted the budget, we didn't have those specific breakdown of costs. Now we do, so that's truing that piece up. Number 6 is adding budget for either temporary labor or professional services. And it's to get assistance for labor negotiations. We do have contracts open this year as well as next year. And we want to make sure that those are settled appropriately and in a timely manner. Number 7 is adding grant revenue and expenditure. So it's net effect of zero on the general fund. Most of the grants is in the recreation department, but there is a grant in the community development department as well. Number 8 is an adjustment for credit card fees. When the budget was drafted, we accepted credit card fees. We took in the revenue and then we had to pay that out through an invoice. We have a new processing structure in place and those credit card fees go straight out to the vendor, so it's no longer passing through the city. And so we need to remove both the revenue and expenditure budget from that. Number 9 is back in April, council had approved contracts for structural review. This is revenue backed, so if there's a structural review, the cost is incurred and then it's reimbursed. So it's a revenue-backed expenditure. Number 10 is adding both revenue and expenditure budget for the school zone cameras. That topic was discussed and approved earlier this year. What we've done is we put in enough cost to cover the cost of the cameras plus the staffing to go with it, and then revenue to cover those costs. At this point, we're confident that we will receive enough revenue to cover those costs. What we don't know is how much revenue would come in above that. And so when we get a better understanding of any additional revenue we might receive from this program, we will come back to council for a budget amendment to where those additional funds would go. So right now it's just strictly revenue neutral. Number 11 is increasing one jail alternative special from 0.75 to 1.0. Council gave consensus for this change in August. Number 12 has to do with the fire department overtime. So there's kind of 3 different components with that. Part of it is covered by ARPA. It's the 12th to the 13th minimum staffing person. They've also had quite a bit of a significant revenue-backed overtime this year related to the COVID testing site and also the repeater malfunction that was happening at Westfield. And then there's some overtime that's not reimbursable. And so that's the full budget amendment for overtime, kind of three components, non-reimbursable, ARPA reimbursable, and then kind of contractual overtime that's reimbursable, I guess you could say. And then there's also some funding in there for the contracts that council approved early on for the fire task force for Karen Reed Consulting and also the gentleman that's doing the financial modeling for us. Number 14 is truing up debt service transfers. When we drafted the budget, we had not issued debt for the public safety plans, for public works shop phase one. And so now that we have done that, we also had just savings from refunding two issues. So we're adjusting those transfers, which is actually reducing those transfers. Number 15 is the budget transfer from the general fund into the land acquisitions for 1% arts. When we drafted the budget back, we just forgot the general fund portion. So we're adding that in. 16, that's the solid waste utility tax per council ordinance 2609. Revenue that exceeds 6% is dedicated to road maintenance and road related projects. We had some funds come in last year in the general fund above what council had already provided authority to. So this is just recognizing those funds and moving them into the arterial street fund so they can be applied against the roadway projects. And then 17 is council consensus had provided funding for the EIS alternative study. So this is transferring general fund money, ending fund balance, which is above the reserve requirements, into our arterial street fund to cover that. We did budget the entire amount for next year, but we don't expect to spend it all next year. So what we don't spend next year will be part of the 23-24 budget process. But by putting it in this all now, it just allocates those funds so that they don't get repurposed for something else. And then the last two for the general fund is we have seen sales tax revenue exceeding budget on a regular sustainable budget. So we're adding $1 million for both this year and next year. So that's good news. And then we've also added back the streamlined sales tax revenue, which also was brought back into our budget after the budget was approved. And then the last one is just the $150,000 for SCORE, which is no longer being paid for by ARPA funds. Yes.
Okay, so I only need to ask one question because you answered all the other ones. Thank you. The funding for SCORE is coming out of the police budget.
Correct.
So do you have to add funds to the police budget or could they absorb that money? What happened there?
So based on what we're seeing with the police department, I actually believe they can absorb it. But we do want to have transparency to the fact that SCORE did ask for an additional $150,000. And so I want to add that budget there again for transparency and for documenting purposes. But my guess is it's not, most likely not going to be needed.
Thank you.
And one thing I did want to mention before I got into the general fund is after all of these amendments for the general fund, both 21 and 22, the reserve policy is met and exceeded. So none of these amendments will drop the general fund below our reserve requirements. So before I move on, any additional questions on the general fund amendments?
Go ahead, Kathy.
I have another one in here that I'm going to ask now. And that is the transfer, the funding for the Youth and Senior Center. Where's that? Are you coming to that or is it going to show up here? Where's that?
That's not included in the budget amendments currently. When the budget was drafted last year, there was $600,000 allocated to initial planning phases. We're getting ready to come to council with the next phase of that, but we're not ready for that dollar amount yet, so it's not included in the budget amendment yet.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
All right. I just want to make sure that we ask questions before we move. Yes. Councilmember Dustin, do you have a question?
I don't have any questions. I just want to let Vicki know it was really helpful. for you to walk through those the footnotes. Usually footnotes are like information you don't necessarily need to know. And so when I first read this document, I wasn't paying attention to the main footnotes, which are actually really important to the chart. And so I don't know, for since this is going to go to the rest of the council, I'm just wondering whether it might be better to organize this in a way that that uses that information you just went over with us before the chart, because before we walked through it, I was really confused when I was reading the memo. But now I don't have any questions because, you know, we did that walkthrough. So that's just feedback, but I don't have any questions. All of these we've talked about before. So yeah.
And I'm happy to flip that if it makes more sense.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I think, I was looking at the footnotes and I didn't realize the footnotes are actually corresponding to the numbers on the notes. And now after you went through it, I see the correlation. I just thought it was a summary of one through something. I didn't follow through that. Maybe asterisk or something like that before that would probably help. So one of the things I was curious, when I look at this, even with the footnotes, that there is like some that, like, for example, if I'm looking at 9, adjust revenue and expenditure budget for structure review contracts. What is structure review of the contract? Like, so the council need to do that. I was just kind of curious on what that was.
So there were a couple of contracts that came before council back in March and April of this year. They're for structural review. It's a function that our community development department does, and it's a revenue backed cost. So I believe both contracts were $150,000 each. And so when the cost is incurred, we bill it out to get reimbursed for it. This happened back in April. Now that we're closer towards the end of the year, we can estimate about how much we're going to need for that. And so the actual amendment that's included in there is only for $150,000 for this year, because that's how much we think we're going to spend and then get reimbursed.
I see. Okay, cool. I understand. That's kind of one that I was a little bit confused on how it's captured. But thank you. You can move on to, if there are no other questions or comments, we can move on. I see none, so go ahead, please.
Okay. So the next set of amendments are summarized for all of our other funds. We tend to typically look at the general fund separate and then all of the other funds. A number of these amendments are duplicated in other funds as well. So for example, personnel contractual obligations. So if it's all right with you, I'll just touch on the ones that are specific that we haven't already covered in the general fund. So there's a couple in here that are related specifically to our fleet fund. Number 2, Fleet purchased a police vehicle through the drug seizure fund. Fleet paid for it, but the funds are in drug seizure, so we need to transfer money from drug seizure into Fleet to reimburse for that. Number 4, we have some park impact fees that were received in a prior year, but they were received in the wrong fund. And since it was a prior year, I need budget authority to move it into the correct fund. Right now, they're sitting in our arterial street fund, and they need to be in our land acquisition park fund. We do need to correct a prior accounting issue. We had some REIT funds come in that were deposited to the wrong fund, wrong code. So that's correcting that. Again, it happened in a prior year. Number 9 is shifting some costs. We expected costs associated with West Valley Highway Project to be incurred in 2021. Those costs are now going to shift into 2022. Along with the grant that is supporting those costs. And we also received notification that we're going to be receiving additional grant. Well, the grant was actually approved back in 2019, but we'll be spending that money in 2022. We don't have budget authority for that specific grant, so it's adding that grant in as well. Number 9, we are adjusting 2 revenue sources in our arterial street fund. good news for both parking tax and let me go back and see the other one. It's parking tax and the solid waste utility tax. Both of them are exceeding our budget. We didn't know what the effects the pandemic was going to have on those two revenue streams, and both of them are coming in higher than our budget, so we do need to account for that. That might be, and shifting number 14 is transferring some costs specific to the public safety plan and the public workshop fund. Supposed to occur in 2020, it's moving to 2021. The Ann Foster Golf Course, that's another one that was not specific to the general fund. The golf course had a great year this year, so we had a lot more revenue coming in that resulted in increased expenditures, so we're adjusting both revenues and expenditures to account for that great year. That'd be the last one, is adjusting the fleet fund purchases. We did have a Vactor truck that was budgeted in 2020 where the funds were, was not purchased till this year. So again, reflecting that purchase this year as opposed to last year.
Okay, thank you. Kathy, do you have questions, comments on this one? Cynthia?
No.
Okay. I don't have any questions. I think that wraps it up. So this is, it's actually going November 8th, community hall, and then regular meeting November 15th. Is that okay with you guys? Okay, cool. That's real. That should be fine.
Thank you.
Are there any miscellaneous?
No, I
have one. But where did Director Carlson go?
I'm sorry, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, so last time when we met, I asked if you could look at the turf field. I think this is something that I believe a month ago or 2 months ago that we talked, that Director Galloway, that the Director of Parks and Recreation, we talked to her about. And you said you had a conversation, and I think last time you were in here, I asked you if you could look at it and said you'd come back to us today, this meeting.
Yes, and I'm actually still looking into that. I'm having conversations with Director Galloway. I need to gain a better understanding of exactly what that project will entail. And with a conversation that happened last Monday at the council meeting, there were also other projects that came up for possible use of ARPA. So I'm trying to look into all of those at the same time so I can respond on all of them of which ones would be qualifying for ARPA or not. So I don't have a final answer yet on the turf fields, but I am still looking into it.
Okay. Yeah, so the follow-up I always ask you is like, what can you get it to us, I don't know, next time on CAO, or is there some timeline you can commit?
I'll work with staff and come up, and yes, we'll do what we can to get that answer to you quickly.
Okay. Councilmember Delastino-Johnson?
What is the process? I really appreciated the opportunity to hear from other council members on uses of ARPA funds that we didn't include in the process, but maybe some of the council members who've been doing, stakeholdering out in the community had ideas. What is the process for those items? Like, if we move forward with this amendment, which I think we're ready to do, what's going to happen next? What is the process that the ARPA funds are going to go through next? Is it just the regular budgeting process, or is there going to be like a mid-year, or how does that work?
So I'll be working with Laurel Humphrey, the council analyst, on this process to make sure we have a good process moving forward. But my thought, honestly, is this is an ongoing conversation. So there was a great conversation at the council meeting last Monday where other ideas were generated. I think we would be looking for consensus on which projects council is interested in pursuing. We have that list internally now, so we're doing our own due diligence to see if those projects would qualify for ARPA. And the ones that would qualify for ARPA, we would probably bring back to the Finance and Governance Committee and start the conversation at this committee level for consensus on which projects you want to see move forward to the full council for their consensus. So I do see this as an ongoing conversation for a while, and then obviously continuing into the 23-24 budget drafting process.
Okay. I would like to see that if we could put something together. Do you have time and staff by the time we're discussing this ordinance, this biennial budget, so we can have that conversation? But I don't know if next. I don't know when's the next time we're meeting.
I believe it's November 8th.
Yeah, like the finance committee. When is the next? Is that November 8th?
November. I believe it's November 8th.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm checking my calendar here. Yes, okay. November 8th.
Okay. I think that should work. All right. That's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Appreciate it. All right. If there are no other items, we are adjourned. Thank you for joining us today. See you guys at 7:00.